rhythm and the lyrics is the same thing, but we're just making that bigger. So if we're going to play the chorus, one, two, three.
Right, so...
Okay. It's adding a little bit more going into
right.
That.
Yeah. So before we go too much further in building the arrangement,
yep.
What I was going to say is, you know, just teaching kind of how to listen.
Yep.
For those who aren't used to listening to bands, you know, or what is it that makes a band sound great? It's this. This is the fundamental. It's the bass and, or the kick drum and the bass. Mm-hmm. So, like, do something, Andrea, do something completely different. And Nate, you jump in and follow it.
Okay.
Like, do something more complex.
Okay. Just 2, 3, 4. Just play some. Yeah, with that same song. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you hear how they're tied there with the kick and the bass.
Yep.
But that's way too complicated, right? So in a situation like that, and I've played with drummers that will do that on everything, right? And so the first thing you have to say is, like, simplify.
Yep.
And but if you're not, and let's say she was going to play that, what would be something simple that you could do to play along with that, Nate, instead of meeting that?
Yeah,
you could play whole notes, probably, right?
Yeah, it would just be set on whole, or yeah. You could even still do that push,
right?
But then she's filling in, doing all the space after that,
right?
So I can stay with that pulse. I don't have to follow along doing every time you hit that. I don't have to be totally parallel. But it's about building the feel of I just follow along, but I'm not swimming upstream, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Right. Not fighting each other.
Yeah.
And making room for the lyrics,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So yeah, whole notes, nothing wrong with whole notes. And that's a great place to start. If you're looking for, you know, what do I play? You start with whole notes. And you can do that really with every position in the band. Mm-hmm. And so what I was going to say is, so let's start building that song.
Okay.
So you guys go into that groove. And now what we're going to do is we're going to add Colton and watch what Colton does.
Okay, let's do the verse.
Right, so it's very, what's that? What are you going to say? So it's very simple. Keep going, guys. So what I would do if I were to take the keyboard and add to this at this point is I would just play whole notes, right? Oh, I don't know where we're at. Da, 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 da. There we go.
Yeah.
That's such a simple sound, but it works really, really well. What's the temptation is, keep going. Da, da, da. The temptation is. That sounds silly, but everybody does that. Everybody does it, you know? It's so easy to get carried away, and so where everybody's just like, yeah! And it doesn't serve the context at all. Most of the songs that we're putting together, they just need to be simple. It's a discipline to play simply. And I often find that the musicians that are the most accomplished, it's an amazing thing. I mean, I've played with people who are, you know, have 100 times the capability that I have, and they play way more simply, you know. So it's about restraint, and it's about knowing, you know, the famous quote is, it's about knowing what notes not to play, mm-hmm. Right,
yep.
To support what's happening. And in this case, what's happening is the congregational singing. So, you know, you almost have to have a little bit more skill and awareness to play this way, in a sense. And be bold enough to play simply. It's okay. Be simple. Okay. Let's see. So, whole notes are not the enemy, so stick with whole notes. It can also be Oh yeah, we already covered that. Nobody's playing with stems, especially not those pastors in the back.
Yeah.
Everybody should be aware of, and lock into the feel, right? So that's the first thing. If you're not the bass and the drums, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to listen to what they're doing and think, what can I add to that, right? So you guys go ahead and do your thing. And Colt, play something really simple. Simple, very simple. Yeah. So that might be a really nice place to start. And then going to this second thing, he might do something a little more complicated. Yeah, so the idea here is that you're building. You're going somewhere. You're stretching, and then you're pulling back. You're stretching, and then you're pulling back, right? It's about building your arrangement. You know, so oftentimes, we just go straight to 10, and then we just stay there. And what I hear in a lot of church situations is just everybody's in their own zone doing their own thing, and they're not listening super well. And so it just doesn't connect, and it's too loud. So thinking very specifically, playing simply, and choosing your moments is a good thing to keep in mind. Yes, please. Right.
Flame, right, the gift that the Lord's given you. But being able to get to that point where you can actually, like, I can look at Nate, or I can look at these guys and follow along with them, almost like intrinsically, right? But like, I can follow them or know or listen. So like, I'm in a different voice. You talk about sonically, so I might be in sort of a different voicing. I mean, Danny made fun of like the cable or whatever, but the thing is, like, John might be down here.
Yeah.
And if we're both down here, it's gonna add, like, again, we're all pretty percussive instruments here. It's gonna muddy that sound, and it won't give any sort of dynamic.
Yeah, and that's really key too. Is that's one of the things, you know, there's this idea that because it's a band and the chords are pretty accessible, that it's an easy thing to put together, that it's easy to put the sound together. And actually, it's pretty complex. And it's based on the principles of the orchestra, right? The orchestra, the reason why the orchestra works is because it's arranged in such a way that every part of the frequency spectrum is represented naturally. So the problem with this situation is that in the frequency spectrum, we have any sound guys here? Any sound people? Okay. So do you know what the range of human hearing is? Yeah. It's 20 hertz. It's 20 hertz to 20,000, right? So that's the area that you have. 20 is the lowest that you can hear, and 20K is supposedly the highest you hear. In reality, it's much smaller than that. What's that? Yeah, you avoid both, right. And all of these instruments, they all occupy this middle space right here, which is, by the way, where everybody loves to play, right? And especially if you're a pianist. So pianos are dangerous weapons because we've got the whole frequency spectrum in front of us, and we're just like, yeah, we don't really need anybody else. We can just do it all ourselves. A friend of mine famously says that you need to learn to play donut style if you're playing piano, especially because the middle is already taken up. So, you know, if you're going to spend time playing, you need to play, you know, lower and higher. So up in these, because this is what pokes out above all of the mid-range activity that's happening. So let's try that. Let's go. I'll show the difference here. Let's do All I Have Is Christ again. So right on the verse. I once was lost. I'm going to play in the middle here. So if I just hit whole notes, it's just kind of emphasizing the downbeat, but it's not really distinct, right? But if I go up here, and down below, so you can hear we're complementing each other. I'm picking, you know, higher stuff. And that, to our ears, you know, it feels much better than if we're all right here, and especially if we're all playing the same groove. So let's see, where was I? Let me look at my notes here. Thank you. Okay, so let's, with that in mind, let's just build something. We've never played this before. Let's arrange a hymn. So we're going to try arranging right here before your very eyes. It is well. It is well with my soul. And this is a good one because, you know, this is most oftentimes used in a traditional setting, right? So it's
like a river attendeth my way when sorrows like sea.
And a lot of churches would be happy to do it that way, and a lot of churches would want to do that way. So, you know, do it a very traditional approach. So let's arrange it in a different way. So we might start very simply. Let's say maybe we start with Colton. You know, lay down a groove for this. See?
I don't know
what to do. No, that's okay. So let's try. So Andrea, let's do this groove. Let's do boom, bum, 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 bum. So okay, so let's stop for a second. So can you start that? Right. Let's sing that.
When peace like a river attendeth my way.
Okay, great. That's real nice, right? What do you notice immediately about that? Nothing. I'll tell you what I notice. What I notice is that it supports the lyrics really well, right? It's really nice. Like, you know, it gives us time to think about what we're singing. It's nice and open, and it lays very nicely. It's a nice, there's a nice groove. So a lot of hymns lend itself to this. So let's try that. Let's start again with that guitar groove. And then let's slowly build it.
When peace like a attendeth my way.
Here comes the keyboard.
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught.
Notice very simply the things I'm doing on the piano are complementing. I'm not trying to play on top of what he's doing. Yeah, and see, then Nate's gonna bring in the bass there.
It is.
And the groove.
It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with.
We're very simple still. Make it a little more complex.
Though Satan,
now we mean it, right?
Though trials,
but we still haven't hit our ceiling. We're still building.
On this blessed assurance, control that Christ has reigned.
Notice on the keyboards, I'm still primarily whole notes.
Helpless and stay and has shed
instead of
his own blood for my soul.
Right? It's very simple, it's very open.
Is well.
Keep going.
Is well with my soul.
great device, right? So now we're going to do a build. So notice every verse we're pulling. We're getting further and further out. We're pushing. And that's just, I mean, we didn't talk about this, right? We're just jumping in on that. So, you know, it's about making those choices in real time. Then you can, you know, take it and then pull back again. You know, maybe we do a big build on that verse and then we come to the chorus and we empty it out and it's just the congregation again. What's that? Yeah, good dynamics. The louds are louds and the softs are softs, and we're giving plenty of opportunity for the congregation to open up. Let's go back here. All right. Nate, do you have any thoughts or anything you want to add before we...
Yeah, something I was reminded of there was going back to a thought I had about like rehearsals and how you prepare. Something that was taught to me recently that makes a lot of sense. When you're figuring out what should I work on, what should we do, especially if you have like limited time in a rehearsal, when we're in a verse, we did it right there. We got into the verse, we got into the groove, we were locked in, we were on the train track. We were moving, and it's really hard for a train, once it's going, to fall off those tracks. You're going to be fine on the verses. It's when you come to a crossroads and you don't, there's a million different ways you can go, that's where the train can fall off the track. So I see this a lot because I lead worship at the high school band, and I see them rehearse and things like that when I'm not leading them. Because they'll just do the whole song top to bottom, practicing every little bit when they have limited time. And then when it comes to like a key change, which we got to there, but we hadn't talked about what we were going to do. We didn't quite know. That was a crossroads we got to, and we kind of fell apart. But naturally, that's how, you know, we didn't talk about any of that. So we were good in the verses, and we were, you know, because we were on the track, it was moving in a direction. We know musically what we're listening for, what we're doing, where it's going. But that crossroads came, and that's like an important thing that, like, John, if you had, you know, 2 minutes to talk through this song, you're like, all right, let's just do that key change. And
right.
Then, you know, okay, key change, we're going to do that.
Up.
It's going to be big.
Yeah.
And then we'll know to go from there.
Yeah.
So, because you know we can play the verse to it as well. Like, we can do that.
Right.
You have that expectation of us. So just something I thought of there because it was like, it happened to us.
That's,
you
know? Great. So just so we can demonstrate for everybody, let's everybody do this one more time, the verse. Mm-hmm. And let's just play Too Busy, everybody. Ready?
Okay.
Ready? When you have to do that every once in a while. It's just too fun. But it's a good reminder because that's what we're doing. We're taking up that whole middle, you know, frequency spectrum, and you don't realize it, you know, that you're doing it. But it happens all the time, and it's obviously not that silly. That's an extreme example. But that's generally what happens, and that's what I hear a lot in worship bands. Yes, please. Not always. I mean, you know, the Getty tune we did earlier, that Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death, is a good example of that. I mean, that starts, you know, all in. You're talking about kind of like, I mean, it as well as a ballad. So, you know, generally ballads are going to start that way. Yeah, not always. We don't always do that. What are you going to say? Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. Does that answer your question? I'm not sure what you're driving at.
Like with drums, for example, like you started the first verse with just like a simple like kick, mm-hmm. and then you went into the second one with adding the toms,
yeah.
and a little bit of the crashes. So would you ever like go into the first verse with toms and
Could totally do that. I just like to build it. You could do like a simple tom group.
Right. Right, so you have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
But also, it's going to be down to the lyrics, too, you know?
Yeah, she's serving the song,
yeah.
First and foremost, is what
right.
she was doing there. Yeah.
But, you know, you can skin a lot of these songs different ways. Like, you know, we did Christ, Our Hope and Life and Death earlier, and we did it, you know, all in, you know, at the beginning. You know. But, you know, that song, you could totally start like, what is our hope in life and death? Christ alone. Christ alone, what is our only you'll find that the songs that are best, you know, written, you can do pretty much anyway. You know, you can do it big, you can do it small, you can do it with a guitar, or you can do it with the whole band. The weaker songs are the ones like you kind of have to do it one particular way, you know, or it's just, it's kind of broken, you know.
I think the main takeaway to that is exactly what Nate said. She's assisting the song specifically, the context and the lyrics of the song.
Right.
Which is what John's been talking about all morning, right? So specifically with it as well, it just, it continues to get even just more glorious. Like each verse builds upon itself until finally, like, Lord haste the day when, like, the consummation of all things is there, right? And, like,
yeah.
I mean, there's key changes to assist with that. And so sonically and, like, musically, it's assisting what the lyrics are doing, which hopefully is encouraging the congregation to sing out as well at those points, right? So
yeah.
Or you might sing something like, I don't know, like the minor sort of falls in, like, the third verse or something, when it talks about, like even just, like, Anne Canada, right? Like,
yes, yeah. That's a great example.
Where, like, you kind of use minor chords to assist with, like, oh, no, like, sin and all these different things. And mm-hmm. then, like, you turn to the major lift, which is the ultimate victory over sin.
Right, you're supporting the lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, sonically, musically, we want to support the lyrics, which would hopefully encourage the heart.
Yeah. But generally speaking, there is a format for building the arrangement, right? You're going to start with your intro, and you're going to determine who's going to start the song. Is it going to be everybody? Is it going to be a single person? And then you're going to move to the verse, and it's going to be whatever you started with plus something, right? And then you're going to go into your, maybe into a pre-chorus, and it's going to be like, oh, should we change our feel here? You know, should we change things up? And then you're going to do your chorus, and generally going to build, and then you're going to have your turnaround, you know, going back into your verse. And so, you know, you're always thinking in sections. You know, what are we going to do on this verse? What's the feel going to be on this verse? What's the feel going to be on this intro? What's the feel going to be on this chorus? And by the way, just a particularly, you know, kind of nerdy point, but I'm just going to put this out there. Everybody know what makes a hymn a hymn? Does anybody know? Okay, so what makes a hymn is not that it's old or in the hymn book. There are lots of hymns in the, or there are lots of songs in the hymnal that are not hymns. And the difference is that a hymn is strophic. And what that means is that every verse is the same and there's no chorus. And generally speaking, what will be the case is that every verse will build on the next. That's what Colton was just talking about. So the first verse is going to start, take you, you know, to someplace, and then the second one's going to advance that conversation and further and further and further until you get to the fourth. And hymns are meant to be sung in sequence like that. They're not really meant to be sung like, let's pick and choose. They're meant to be sung from top to bottom. They're meant to be a story. And so, you know, when you're arranging, that's something else to think in mind. Like, where are we going? You know, we're starting a journey here. And where are we going to end up? Where are we trying to take it? What are we supporting? So that's what hymns are, and then technically it as well is not a hymn because it has a chorus. That's neither here nor there. That's not one of those things you want to get caught on. But every once in a while, you know, yeah, the nerdy side of me, like, that's not a hymn. So it's helpful to think about it because, you know, like when you look at the difference between, like, a lot of the stuff that, like, the Gettys are writing and their group of writers, they really are championing the hymn format, right? And that's the difference between what they're doing and what a lot of other folks are doing. Okay, sorry. Thank you for giving me my nerdy moment. All right, any other questions out there? How about you pastors in the back? I know you've got some burning questions back there. Everything's good back there? All right, okay, just checking. I'm having a prayer meeting back there. Yeah, song selection.
You can really sort of derail everything that was labored over. I mean, Danny talks about this. Danny should get up here and say some things, but I mean,
yeah.
Just can you
Danny should be teaching this seminar.
A little bit upon, like, how much time you and Manny spend each week in song selection, specifically, you know, Manny labors to present what the Lord will have him, you know, from a particular text. And, you know, in a matter of 3 to 5 minutes, you can pretty much derail that by picking a song that, you know, might be a good song, but maybe not sort of relevant to what, you know, if you can speak to that, Danny. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I was back there thinking, more piano. And I don't know, I like those examples you were giving. Yeah. I like those. Yeah. Then you change it and stop playing. Okay, so I guess you're asking the question is like, what do we put, like a practical thing about picking songs, right? Which could be a whole other, next year's seminar we'll have choosing songs, okay? But the relationship I have with the pastor here is really, I've served under a few different pastors, and this has been a unique one because I've never had someone who cared so deeply over every little thing that happens. And I don't mean that in a oppressive, micromanaging, you know, monster. I mean, in a joyous, he just, oh, that was so great. Oh, that's a home run. That was awesome. He's like, you know, like everything's amazing, right? And it's like, that was, it was like a C-level Sunday, I guess, you know? But what we spend a good amount of time talking about is a real, real important thing. And I remember when I first came on here a number of years ago, our discussions were, listen, I really, really want you to communicate with me what you're doing. And he'd never had to do this before, but we have an outline that goes weeks and months in advance, basically the general session of where we're going, so we can develop a canon, like a music curriculum, as it were, that we're going to, you know, feed the church over time of these things. And then, you know, some songs stick and last for a bit. Some, we use them just for a little bit, and they move on because there's so many great songs. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to that closing song, I said, I can undo all your work, all your hours that you spent, your 80 hours this week you spent on your sermon. I can do it in, like, 4 bars, okay? So it's important to me that you communicate what you're doing, because it's an important thing that we see the closing song. It's his words. The closing song here is not the dismissal song. It is the conclusion to the sermon. So there's a whole other philosophy of when you're picking songs in that first part of the of your set, like the way we do it. We have a set, and then you have your, you know, then the sermon comes. That part, there's a lot of things you can do. You can choose and reach back what your church heard. Remember last week we talked about this, and you can sing, or maybe something that is pointing specifically, but you're taking your people. But that last song is you want to really dig in and prepare your people in advance. Maybe you know a song. I know I'm going to use this to close that sermon a few weeks from now. I'm going to make sure our church knows it. So you have to strategize. You have to think, and not week to week, but think how to do that so that your people are fed that. But that closing song is probably the key, the pinnacle moment, because they walk out with that song more than, you know, the last parts of the last hour of the sermon.
You don't sing the sermon.
Yeah, there's no pastors in here, so I can say that. No, I'm just kidding. There is one back there. So does that help?
Thanks, Danny. So listen to others as much as yourself when you're playing. Don't be afraid of simplicity. Less is more, always. Less is more. Lyrics are king. Lyrics are always king. Listen to what we're doing and the choices that you're making based on what we're singing. Play the part. Play the part and not the chart. Okay? So play what makes sense for your instrument. Don't feel like you have to always play. You know, sit back and sing. It's just fine to not be playing just because you're on the platform. I'm going to wrap it up in a second, but do you have anything more just you want to add there?
What's funny is, like, I can also counter that and say, don't be so wrapped up in your part that you're not playing with everybody else. That's a common thing, too, where, like, say there's a song you can hear in the recording. I know this. I want to play this bass part. I want to play this drum groove. And that's all you're thinking about is, like, playing that one thing that you hear, and you're not listening to what everyone else is doing, and it's not helping anyone that you may know this part, but it's not serving the group on that set and that Sunday. And that...
Mm-hmm. Watching him and listening to him, because he threw audibles and, like...
Yep.
Was it All I Have, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, that song was not rehearsed that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, being flexible.
Yep.
Being flexible,
and then having sort of like, what are we doing? When are we coming back in?
Yeah.
And we sort of all kind of picked up on that a little bit, right?
Yeah, sometimes when we get to a build or get to a place where we stop, I'll turn and look at Andrea, and sometimes, like, make sure, hey, you know we're not going to play, right? Or, like, kind of give the eye contact of, like, we're doing this, right? And almost as, like, a safety net of, like, making sure we all know the arrangement. And that wouldn't happen if I was so focused on playing every note correctly.
Right.
And, like, had my head buried in the music, so... Yeah. That's where it's helpful to do that. So, yeah.
Oh, one more thing I'll say on the arranging side, and that is just to know, you know, just like if you were the conductor of an orchestra, you know what each part plays, you know, where the sweet spot is for that part. And like I said, everything that we have on the stage currently is a rhythm instrument. So Nate is playing rhythm, Andrew is playing rhythm, Colton's playing rhythm, and I'm playing rhythm. We're all playing rhythm. So we have to complement each other and make choices in and around the frequency spectrum. But there is another type of instrument that we haven't named, and that's a lead instrument, right? So what would be a lead instrument? Yeah, electric guitar, trumpets, definitely a lead instrument. Flute. So typically electric, and then you have, you know, sort of the third rail, which is, you know, the pads, right? The pad sounds or organ sounds. And those are the most dangerous because, you know, just like a single chord can take up the entire frequency spectrum all at once. But those play different parts. So lead lines are always going to be, you know, typically playing some kind of a part and not necessarily playing rhythm. So here we're all playing rhythm, and so the lead is the voice. Yep. You know, that's where it is. But you know, we on another day might have had an electric guitar up here, and then that would add even a bit more complexity, mm-hmm. as well as range and our ability to, you know, to build even further. All right. So I think we should finish singing. But before we do that, any questions? Any questions? Yeah. You can still arrange.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, those kind of types of situations are some of my favorite. Because it's easy to get to a place of excellence. It's easier to get a place of excellence because you have less elements to control. And you can still get a big sound with those instruments. You can get a big sound with just one of those. So, you know, the range that you have there is pretty profound. But typically, like in a situation like that, I mean, it would depend on the strength of the guitar player, but I would probably have the guitar player be kind of more the forward leading instrument and have the piano be playing around the guitar. That's probably how I would think of that. But it really depends on the player and the type of playing. But it can be done. And, you know, simpler instrumentation works to great effect for congregational singing because it really just opens it up. And like I said, you know, earlier in the session, the more you make room for people to sing, the more they sing, you know, because they start to hear themselves and suddenly it's like, oh man, this is amazing, you know. So it's wonderful to have a big band, and I love it, and I don't get to play with a band as much these days as I once did, so I enjoy it, but it's not, you know, required, you know, we don't have to have that. So, all right, anything else? All right, I can tell everybody's falling asleep. We're getting the post-lunch malaise. Why don't we stand and we'll just sing. Well, let's sing the last verse of it as well. Does everybody know it? And Lord haste the day. And Lord haste the day when my faith shall be signed, the clouds be rolled back as a everybody. Thanks for coming.